Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to Epic Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LO.
That you would be no on this doubt. Beautiful, beautiful day, February 8th, here in sunny Southern California.
That it is, Michael. We're talking evil today. Lots of good stuff going on here in LA. The Pantages Theater has Aladdin. How cool is that,
that
Michael?
That is super cool. Yeah. And they have, the Aladdin company has sent something over to the show.
What'd they send?
For us.
Oh, please tell me.
I don't think we can keep it.
Uh-oh. Oh, shoot. I was so excited.
We will be able to see it and hold it.
Oh, you're not talking about either of our two guests today, are you? Because they told me I couldn't hold them.
Yeah,
they specifically said, no, holding our guests.
Oh, so. Please hold me.
Please, somebody hold me.
Obviously, like you said, Michael, a beautiful day here on February 8th in beautiful, sunny Southern California.
Oh, that is right, Andrew. And we have a couple of tremendous performers with us in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen, direct from the Pantages and the production Disney's Aladdin on stage now through March 31st, where they are appearing as respectively Jafar and Iago.
That's right, we do, Michael. Phenomenal cosmic talent, itty bitty studio space.
Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the truly diabolical duo, Jonathan Weir and Reggie DeLeon.
That's right. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
If we could get that for the show, that would be awesome.
You didn't need it, man. I saw a lot of standing and clapping. I need it just to walk around L.A., though.
Totally.
I think every time my phone rings, that would be a really nice thing to hear. It's just that applause. Oh, I'll gladly answer that call. Well, we will talk more to our two amazing guests in just a moment, Michael. But before we do that, we should pay some bills and thank our sponsors.
I think that would be a good idea. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018.
Into the future we go.
A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in the worldwide cruising industry, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 18 modern vessels.
Absolutely. And we are so grateful for their support of live entertainment, and what they provide on those ships are remarkable productions.
And obviously great people over there who care about the live performing arts and want to bring that to as many people as they can. What a great mission to have.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Art Live's
which actually is my new website, Performing Art Lies.
We're lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, that's right. No doubt. Yep. Okay. Lots of great people doing great things here in the Southland and around the world. And speaking of great things, Michael, tell me you had a great week. You doing well? You happy?
I'm happy. And yeah, I had I'm working on Million Dollar Quartet. At the
very
moment.
Exciting project.
When I say I'm working on it, I'm handling the public relations for a very prestigious producing entity here in Southern California called 3D Theatricals.
That's right.
And the show is having its regional premiere in the Los Angeles area since its national tour came through a while ago. And down at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, beautiful venue, we open this weekend on February 9th and run there through the 18th. And then we move over to the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts and do a two-week run there. And have you seen the show before?
It ran for an extended run in Chicago. For
yes,
a
it did.
Of years.
I think it's one of the longest
running shows in Chicago.
Exactly.
And it's a wonderful piece.
And a couple of our actors are from that production, and the Broadway production and the Vegas sit down production.
Yeah,
I guess
it's
they
great
just kind
fun.
Of recycle them and threw those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that opens. I'm very excited. You're going to come see it?
I hope so, very much. Yes. I've never seen that show, so I'm very excited.
It's
I've heard
awesome.
The soundtrack, of course.
Of course, it is based on a historic moment in music history with Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins
mm-hmm.
and Jerry Lee Lewis all together in the same room in a recording studio, Sun Records, Memphis. Never weird. Happened again. When they were young bucks.
Man, to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
No doubt about it. And so, I know you were doing some physical therapy on your back. You're moving around great. You feeling okay
in
that area?
Yes, I will. Good. I do. I have this little back problem that is attached to the it is involving my sciatic nerve. Shall I say more than that? Because I don't think I have to. If anybody...
yeah. Everybody groans all at once, you know?
but thank you for asking. I am feeling pretty good. And what about yourself?
Happy and healthy for the most part. Had a chance to go see Aladdin.
Yes.
And I had a date.
Yeah.
A hot date. It's the only woman my wife let me goes out with anymore. So it's very rare that I get to get out on the town with
and
a pretty young
would
lady.
Be?
My daughter.
Oh.
Yeah. And so she had such a good time. She said, "Daddy, the singing was so good and the dancing was amazing and the jelly bellies were delicious." So those are the three things that she recognized as really quality entertainment, which was nice to see. It was so much fun. You know, you go to the Pantages and you walk into this opulent building, this beautiful building, and you immediately feel like you're already ready to go see Aladdin. Yeah. So it's a really nice fit down there. Katie had a great time. And not only that, but just this whole week, we've been out at arts events all throughout Los Angeles. You know, the new year started. And it's such a good feeling with everything else going on in the world to be able to go out and just be entertained with good entertainment. And Aladdin's is certainly an example
was
of that.
Was she familiar with the story? Had she seen the
movie?
Oh,
yeah. She'd seen the movie, of course. Yeah. And, you know, all the songs from the movie, she, of course, immediately chimed in with. I had to hush her at once because she was singing kind of loud. So, yeah, but it was interesting. Of course, you know, Disney's had this huge resurgence with their villains and their TV shows and all that. So, yeah, so Katie, I think, is very much right on the edge of that. My daughter's right on the edge of that. But a lot of other things, too, that have kind of come around to where this story is one that she loves because it's really a great story for everybody. You know, it's not about anything in specific that you have to be a small group to understand. It's just about a human experience of this love story, and it's really beautiful to watch.
It was, I played Aladdin in a different version of Aladdin.
I'd forgotten that. You mentioned that once,
young. And but I was very proud of it, and I don't think it was probably even a good production. But you know who else was in it? Who went on to great success as a recording artist? Jennifer Warnes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know that.
Yeah. Very cool.
And we went to school together.
Wow.
A Catholic high school.
Sure.
Modern day.
Yeah.
Here in Los Angeles.
Of course,
in,
a great
Orange
school.
County.
Yeah.
And who knew? We were the only two kids that were in the arts, and both of us had decent careers. And, she certainly went on to have a lovely career. I wish she would still record. She's not doing that too much anymore. But
what a cool thing, though, to be in a production with her. She played Jasmine?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we were very young, so
yeah.
it was fun. It was an interesting experience.
How cool. Well, lots of good stuff here going on in the South Lane. Shall we bring in this gentleman who's waited so patiently sitting right to the right of me here?
I think we should.
Our first guest is a veteran of the Chicago stage, where some of his many credits include The Merry Widow at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, King Charles III, and Twelfth Night at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Days Like Today, The Liar, A Little Night Music, Arms, and The Man, The Doctor's Dilemma, Malice, and Miss Alliance.
But it was said with Malice.
Malice is a great show, too. Miss Alliance and The Father at the Writers' Theater.
He also appeared in Stepping Out at Steppenwolf Theater Company, Billy Elliot, Ragtime, Camelot, and Most Happy Fella at Drury Lane, Oakbrook, Sideshow at Northlight Theater, and Candide, The Visit, and A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater.
He appeared as Scar and Pumbaa in The Lion King on Broadway. National tours include the Chicago Company of Jersey Boys, the first and second national tours of Lion King, and Scrooge the Musical.
He is here today, however, to talk with us about his current role as Jafar in the spectacular production of Aladdin, on stage now at the Pantages Theater. Please welcome the most talented sorcerer in Agrabah, the amazing Jonathan Weir.
That's right.
Wow.
Welcome, Jonathan. Welcome.
Could you guys just follow me around and do that intro everywhere I go?
Isn't that a great feeling?
It'll work great at the Dunkin' Donuts.
For a certain price, yes.
I got a feeling there is no shortage of applause for you, because though you were evil in this show, you were so darn likable. You had half the audience on your side from the very beginning.
Well, that's the goal, right? It's always good to be bad.
No doubt. And you better get applause with some of the stuff you have to do in that show. My goodness.
There's a lot of Disney magic out there.
You're right. Yeah. Wow. What's it like to play this role? And this isn't the only Disney villain you've played, obviously.
No,
right?
I stood by for Scar for about 13, 14 years on the road and on Broadway. And so it's a delight, actually. It's always lovely to play the antagonist and come in and mess up everybody's good time. I always say I've been earmarked by Disney as a villain, but I'm happy to do it. But I've had an extensive career in Chicago and played a variety of roles, so that's a treat. You know, I think one of the best things is about leaving the theater at night, and it's lovely to have people want your autograph, and they try to engage with them. But you see these little kids who really are into Jafar, and I'm like, yeah, it's good to be bad, but not with your parents.
Right.
I have to put a stipulation on that. It's great joy. And Reggie, who plays Reggie De Leon, who plays my sidekick, Iago, is, you know, it's one of the great pairings. It's like Pumbaa and Timon. It's like Abbott and Costello, Ethel and Lucy sometimes. We steal from everybody. It's a treat. And it is a challenge to make those characters sympathetic. But I approached it as, this is a guy in search of ultimate power. And what does somebody like that do? And what motivates that?
That's right.
Well, it's a perfect marriage on the stage for me. I think the whole show, the casting in this show was impeccable.
Yeah, they did a beautiful job.
Tour. And I know that Adam, of course, has been doing this since he created the role on Broadway. Boy, what a stretch for him to be in the show this long.
It's about 5 years with workshops in Seattle and Toronto, and then the opening in L.A., in New York, and now being here in L.A., and he'll be wrapping up on the tour after L.A. He'll be leaving us, so he's wrapping up here in L.A., which is a great way to do it.
And he keeps it so fresh. Adam Jacobs, of course, is his last name, and he keeps it fresh. He still seems the appropriate age, very, very young for it's amazing to watch. And his fight choreography as well as his dance choreography, and, a true triple threat, really a quadruple threat with what he can do with the dance and the fight stuff as well. So
he's all over the stage, physically, and then telling the story and the journey through his point of view.
And it was interesting because, obviously, the genie has such a dominant role, and he was fantastic as well. The whole cast was amazing.
And my goodness, yes, wasn't he?
Michael James Scott. Michael,
right. I always like people with three first names.
Exactly. It looks good on a resume.
That's right. It was interesting to watch because when you saw him in Aladdin, some actors would fight for the scene a little bit, and those two shared the stage so well. They really did have a simpatico that was great.
Well, Casey Nicolau, who directed the show, was made it clear that they do become buddies, not unlike the animated feature.
Right.
And these two have a great dynamic and a great connection together on stage and a great sense of play, which I think the audience just gets drawn into.
No doubt.
Now, the gentleman that plays the genie was taken out of the, or introduced the character in Australia,
the Australian production.
And then they brought him here to
to open L.A. and to be with us for a while.
Oh, so is the first city that he has.
Yes, on the tour. This is the first one he joined us on. He was in, actually, that's not true. He did the last, half a week in San Francisco with the Orpheum.
So. Cool.
Well, what a joy to watch that man's work, because he is unbelievable.
James Scott again. Yeah, great, great performer. And Adam Jacobs. And not only that, but the entire cast, like you said before, really did have just the full feeling of that show. I saw kids as young as, I think, 5, which I don't usually see at the Pantages.
Right.
Very young children, very well behaved, and who loved it. They absolutely
loved it. Yeah, it holds their attention. And I always say, it has great appeal. And we have so many late 20s, early 30s people there, who audience members, who this was their movie growing up. This was their princess or their hero, Disney hero. And to see them at the stage door, to have them approach you, you see a lot of people, you see a lot of families, you see a lot of grandparents, you see, middle-aged people, and it's a good time for everybody. It's we always like to say it's the perfect date show.
That's right.
Exactly. Since Disney has been in the business of Broadway musicals, they have changed the face of Broadway.
There's no doubt about it.
They have, and they changed Times Square. I mean,
exactly. They totally
instrumental in
for that.
Exactly. With the remodeling of the new AM that happened, New Amsterdam Theater, and then it just sort of spread like wildfire. So,
God bless them for doing that.
Well, I think the show's recommended. permitted for people as young as six, is what they say here, ages six and up. And it really is one of those special shows that has something, no matter how far up you are. You could be 96 and sit in that audience and still having a really good time. And the thing I love the most was to sit and watch as the spectacle that's on stage entertained you with not only the great acting, not only the great singing, but also the sets and costumes that absolutely blew it out of the water. It was a 1940s concept in a way. It was beautiful.
It's Busby Berkeley meets Esther Williams meets
comparison.
Cecil B. DeMille.
That's right.
It is. I always say that the ensemble in this show are truly the heart and soul of the show, because not only are they working their tushes off, they're everything from physically to singing to acting. But they don't stop moving. They have costume changes continually through the show. And in many ways, they become the architecture of the world because of the costumes. Greg Barnes, who designed the costumes, which are truly phenomenal and do tell a story, help tell the story. But I would say they become part of the world physically through their costumes and their presence. And I have great admiration for them. I started out as a dancer. Well, I didn't start out as a dancer, but I did some dancing.
He was a dance minor in college.
I was a dance minor. Thank you.
Wow.
I had a little canary and a pith helmet. It was really great. But anyway, yes, they're phenomenal in the costumes, the scenery.
Well, for those, and we'll say this one probably a few times during the program, but we're talking, of course, about Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin at the Hollywood Pantages Theater, and with a performance schedule between Tuesday and Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., Sunday at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Individual tickets start as low as $39. You cannot beat that to see this multi-million dollar spectacle.
No doubt about it.
And as Andrew just said, ages six and up, and all patrons of the entering the theater, regardless of age, must have a ticket. And you can do that easily by going to HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com. Or, Andrew, what would the phone number be?
1-800-982-2787. Again, 1-800-982-2787. Of course, there's lots of great ways to do it. They have group rates. You can go to PantagiousGroups.com for group rates. And one of the best things about this is you're here until March 31st, which is a good long run here in L.A. Plenty of chances to go see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you having, you're enjoying our weather here?
Yes, being from Chicago, I am not angry at this weather at all.
Yeah. Now, have you made it down to the beach?
I went down to Malibu and I visited the Getty Villa. Yeah,
fantastic.
You can stop at his house.
Why didn't you? What's the
address? I tried to flag you down on PCH, but it was
sure
the one time traffic wasn't bad.
Can I say where I ate? Is that a plug?
Go. Let's plug it. Maybe they'll come sponsor the show. I'll get free food.
At Neptune's Net.
Oh, we love Neptune. So you went all the way up north.
Yeah, I went up almost towards Ventura.
Yeah, it's right at the Ventura County line.
Yeah, that was, you know.
Now
so
you got to tell us what you got there. What'd you get?
I had a Bloody Mary because it was my day off.
That's right, it was.
Breakfast? Or?
It was a bit of a brunch.
Doesn't that seem like a Jafar drink?
It does, Bloody Mary.
When you go out, obviously, on your one day off here where you get to go have a little bit of free time, hardworking man, and you go up there, do you ever just decide to order as Jafar? I would like.
I joke when I started the show, I was a tenor, and now doing this role, I've become a basso profundo. No, I try to leave them at the stage door Sunday night. But I had the Bloody Mary, I had the chowder, which
Very
was amazing,
nice.
And I had a great basket of fish and chips.
You know, I tell you, that's one of the best things to get there, and I love that spot because, you know, you're right
on the water.
Another great one on your next day off because you got a couple of them coming up. Zip up there and try Malibu seafood as well.
Okay.
Great, great food there.
Yeah.
One of the favorite things about going to eat along the coast is you sit out on the patio and you get a people watch a little bit. And last time I was up at Neptune's Net, there was bikers, and they were on. This is
a
huge biker.
There were a few the day we were there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they all stopped there, and one guy got on his bike and then just went off the other side. Now, I don't know if he'd been drinking or if it was just an accident, but he was, I don't know if he was a real biker or if he was an accountant on biker watch, but he got out there and all his buddies drove off and he got on and just missed his bike a little bit and tumbled off the other side. And he got up with the best attitude laughing. I thought, boy, that's a nice
good thing. Good-hearted accountant on a Harley.
That's about what it must have been, but it was very funny. So, yeah, lots of good things going out there on PCH.
Yeah, it was fun. And the Getty Villa was amazing.
Beautiful. What was up there?
It's the antiquities.
Of course.
So they had beautiful architecture and the history of it. Yeah.
One of my favorite pieces, Masaccio's Andrew, the Apostle Andrew, is a beautiful piece there. And lots of really good stuff.
Yeah,
they have a glass
pieces.
Exhibit up there as well. Yeah. Lots of good things.
Can you imagine really living in that space?
That's what I thought about.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You know, and the detail of recreating Herculaneum, the Vesuvius, the homes, and the great detail and the love of passion that he had for that was moving.
There's a few of those kinds of residences here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Greystone Manor being another one that's beautiful to go to, mm-hmm. and such history,
and they have theater performances there as well.
Pardon?
Theater performances, Greystone Manor,
yes.
And at the Getty as well. So,
yeah. And the Mary Pickford Estate, of course, as well.
No, but I'm loving it. It's the weather. Besides the weather, I have a lot of friends here, so that's been fun. Part of the tour for me has been a little bit of John Weir. This is your life. Everywhere I go, I teach part time at Loyola University in Chicago in theater. So I have students everywhere, family, and in Chicago, a lot of friends that have moved out here from Chicago. So that's part of the perks of traveling and touring.
No doubt.
You were in the original company of Jersey Boys on Broadway?
I was not on Broadway. I did the second national tour.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It's one of the shows, one of our show's favorite shows, Jersey Boys. We have a lot of connections to that show, and what a fantastic piece of theater that is, too.
Truly was. It was a special experience with a special group of people. We're still friends with many of us from that company.
And that show just keeps going, and it keeps going.
And, of course, the amazing John Lloyd Young was just here a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
is he coming back again soon? Are we going to see him at Sterling's
in
upstairs?
March.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You guys will still be here. Go see John Lloyd Young. Yeah.
I have a nightclub here.
Oh, do you?
I'm going to say this on air. I'm going to invite your entire company.
Wow.
Oh.
On a Monday coming up, February 19th.
Okay.
For anyone that's interested and available. And it's called Third Mondays, and it's a brand new experience that we brought into the club. It's a supper club, and it's in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood,
fun.
So it's not far probably from where you're staying.
Exactly.
And it is for the Foundation of New American Musicals. It's a benefit every time mm-hmm. we do this. And the performers who are from Broadway all sing from Broadway's past, Broadway's present, and Broadway's future.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool evening. There's always a wonderful host. Kevin Bailey from Broadway is the mm-hmm. host of that
nice.
Particular.
The 19th
of February.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
And I will give you
Great.
My information.
Great.
And
I'll
let's stay in touch
word.
About that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
very cool.
All right. Cool.
Obviously, Sterling's upstairs is at the Federal Bar and Grill. Have you ever been to the Federal?
I have not.
Okay. It's across from, it's in a great area of North Hollywood there. But when you go down there and you get the Vanilla Manhattan. If
I
you
love
don't
the
do it,
the
I'm telling you, man, I'm going to walk in there someday.
Right.
And I've sold about 40 million Vanilla Manhattans. That's right. The Andrew David James Vanilla Manhattan. That's what I want. That's what I want. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jonathan Weir today. That's right. That's why I always go towards those performers. Of course, from the amazing cast of Disney's Aladdin at the Pantages right now, running now through March 31st. A great show to take the kids to, and obviously just a great piece of theater in and of itself. So you guys are here in Los Angeles all the way until the 31st. Now, have you had any unusual experiences with visitors coming to the Pantages? Last time I was there, I sat next to Steph Curry, which was funny because he was getting as much attention as what was going on.
Right.
And you could tell he was just kind of trying to disappear into the background. I felt so bad for him. But
we've had a few Hollywood luminaries at the theater. Shall I name? I think I drop a name.
You can
or
drop
so.
Every
sure.
now and then. Sure.
We had the last one was Britney Spears.
Oh, very nice.
Family. We had Drew
Did
Carey.
She understand the show?
She didn't. I don't know. I heard she didn't stick around for curtain call, so we had a chance to ask. I think she wanted to get her family home.
It's always interesting too, because the Pantages really is a great meet and greet spot. There's so much food nearby.
Absolutely.
There's so many, and you're right there on the Walk of Fame. So I saw all these kids. In fact, I had to dodge a few. All these kids looking down at the stars, trying to read the names. So the entire center is just kids. Daddy, I read this one.
It's like the slow lane on the highway. We had Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner.
And
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh,
cool.
We had Drew Carey.
Now, did you get to meet them?
They had Melissa McCarthy and Jennifer Gray. Sorry. Speaking of Dirty Dancing. Wrong reference. Jennifer Garner. But they had Aladdin and Genie and Jasmine sort of meet with them off to the side, because I think they tried to be respectful.
Of course.
But it's funny to see the cast. I mean, they get kind of titillated, or they'll spot somebody in curtain call or somebody, and we're always like, you do know we're playing in their backyard.
Right.
And actually, we're kind of the stars right now.
Right, so you can all look at us instead.
They're looking at us. So. But it's fun, you know.
That is fun.
The L.A. experience is unique. It's certainly beautiful, as I said, not missing the winter at all. But we've had the audiences here, by the way, have been, I mean, really, not since, I think we were kind of in Chicago. Seattle was another, they've all been great cities,
right.
But those that are... sort of tipping the scale on enthusiasm, and LA has just been, they've just been eating it up. And it's great fun when you have that exchange with an audience back and forth, that energy.
Yeah, sure.
They sign on board for the journey and they get it. So it's been great fun. It's
well, and there's no better place, seriously. I mean, with the aesthetics and the architecture of the Pantages Theater, to have a show like Aladdin,
yeah,
because it just all seems right.
It seems organic in the sense that it looks like it was built for the space. And the area, you know, walking around. You know, the LA experience is great. Of course, I've gotten a personal trainer because that's what you do, right?
You don't actually have to go. You just have to have one.
Exactly. Which I like. I have his number in my phone. He texts me now and then. No, he's kicking my butt. And I do that mainly just so I can survive the show. It's eight shows a week. It's a lot of energy. You know, it's fun to be mean, but it also takes a great amount of energy. And the costumes to pull those off, so I'm just trying to...
Do you do that in every city?
I have been doing it every city,
good for you.
A lot of us have. They get us a gym membership every city, which is great.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Company management takes care of us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like... And I've got a friend who I've gone to yoga with a couple times. Hello, Shannon. just trying to... I brought my bike with me, but it doesn't seem like the friendliest bike.
It is not, but although there are places...
That's what I've heard. You've got to go Venice.
Absolutely. Don't do it on the major...
the 101?
If you jump on the 405, right at the interchange, I just take that middle lane. It's totally fine.
It's all good.
Tell him Andrew David James said it was
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
The question is, and this is really the big question, when you started rehearsals that first time and you were there alone and maybe the lamp was sitting nearby, did you ever take a chance to rub the lamp and just see what might happen?
Well, you know, it's funny because the first day of rehearsal, we all show up, you know, we're thrown in this room together and all the creatives are there and the head of Disney Theatricals, and that afternoon, we did a read of the show, which was really fun. And Reggie and I don't know, man. We just had this connection right from the start, which was thankfully. The lamp, they kept it pretty. The props kept it kind of, you know.
You know why? Because there's a real genie in there.
If there is,
they
a real
didn't
genie,
want anybody messing with that.
And there's a lawsuit in your future should you disturb him. No, it's that experience, that 4 or 5 weeks that we had in the rehearsal hall were phenomenal, because every day it was one of the most positive, creative, supportive rehearsal processes I've been in, because everybody was just in it to win it,
right,
giving it their all. And from that regard, we just, you know, I think this company is special.
It's
they
great.
Put together a really good group of people. So, yes, the lamp. I was more into the staff. They're like, this is your staff. And I was like, what? The eyes don't light up? No smoke? You blew your wad on the carpet? There's no money left over for special effects.
It's a beautiful staff. And your costume changes, my friend, probably took up half their budget, too.
Exactly. So. I can tell you how those work, but I'd have to kill you.
Well, and it's so funny. Michael's had a couple of underdressing scenarios as well. Past, but this is one of those things where you really see how to do costumes.
It's
right
in front of 2,700 people.
Don't mess
night.
That up,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
and there have been a few snafus.
Oh, I want to hear about those off air.
Yes, exactly.
Obviously, great things to talk about. We're going to continue this conversation on Disney's Aladdin at the Pantages Theater coming up here with Reggie and of course with Jonathan as well. A little bit more. Can you guys hang around while we do a quick live arts calendar?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go ahead and do that on a great show called Violet, set in the Deep South during the early days of the Civil Rights Movement. This powerful musical tells the touching story of a young woman accidentally scarred on the face as a child. With a ticket and a suitcase and a heart full of expectation, Violet Carl waits for a Greyhound bus in search of a miracle, hoping that the healing touch of a TV evangelist can cure her. Violet embarks on a long bus ride from her sleeping North Carolina town through the deep South city of Memphis all the way to Oklahoma. Along the way, she meets two young soldiers who teach her about love, courage, and the true meaning of beauty.
The best Tony-nominated musical nobody's ever heard of, Violet, has wowed critics and audiences with its powerful story and energetic gospel, rock, country, and R&B score. Don't miss your opportunity to see this breathtaking show. Violet is on stage now at the Chance Theater in Anaheim, and that is in Orange County, through March 4th.
For tickets or more information, call 888-455-4212 or just visit chancetheater.com. Obviously, one of the great theaters here in Southern California.
Chance Theater, one of the great award-winning.
It's a great
theater.
Show.
Absolutely.
I did that show
did
in
you
Chicago
see?
A number of years ago.
You know, so few people have actually done the
Janine
show.
Janine Tesori's music for that show is amazing.
I've seen
song.
It here in a smaller production, and it at the El Portal Theater. Which
great
is
theater as well.
Right across the street from where we are at the Federal. And so, and that's a very historic Theater.
Yeah.
That was the only movie theater in the East San Fernando Valley, and the first building in the San Fernando Valley East was the Federal, which was the bank.
Oh, wow.
Universal Studios being at the far end and nothing in between.
Yeah.
So the likes of Debbie Reynolds and all of those young starlets.
Marilyn Monroe, of course.
Right. All of them were literally living across the street in that movie theater.
Wow.
That's where they rode their bikes. Marilyn went to school right behind the theater
as a
child.
I love the history.
Yeah, so there's lots of good ghosts that walk on the street.
Yeah.
And pretty great place.
And that space obviously still breathes with that history. You walk in there, and it's a great setup, very easy to see a show.
Right.
And, of course, the Chance Theater is very similar to that as well. So many great venues with the Pantages and all these wonderful theaters around here, and they're so cooperative with one another, which is a really great thing, a great heart of the artist here in L.A.
Shall we?
It's time. Oh, he's been waiting so patiently. I tell you, the man who had my little girl laughing nonstop, the whole show, so much great. Let's bring him in, Michael.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a regular on the stage and screen. His theatrical roles are truly too many to count, but include Disney's Frozen, Live at the Hyperion. Matthew Modine saves the alpacas at the Geffen, La Caja Fall at Sacramento Music Circus, and national tours of Maximum Rocket Power Live, Selena Forever, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Some TV credits include reoccurring roles on Superior Donuts, Mom, Young and Hungry, and Melissa and Joey. Some co-starring roles include Anger Management, Modern Family, House MD, The Newsroom, and General Hospital, among many others.
You've also seen him in comedy sketches on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Key and Peele, and The Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
In film, some lead roles include Pup Star 3, World Tour, Pup Star Better, To Get Better Together, and The Apocalypse, An Election Story, with supporting roles in Innocent Blood, The Good Son, Sister Act 2. Voiceovers include The Bourne Legacy, NCIS, The Great Raid, and Medal of Honor, Warfighter.
He appears as the hilarious evil sidekick Iago on the Broadway and North American tours of Disney's Aladdin, and he's here today to talk about us. Or to talk about us.
Oh, I hope he talks about us. That would be
so
great.
He's such a gossip.
To talk to us more about his great show on stage. Pantages. He'll be on stage there through March 31st. Please give it up one more time. Reggie DeLeon.
That's right. Reggie.
We're friends on Facebook, I know that.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay, all right.
I thought you guys had a great connectivity when you walked in. That Facebook, that's just amazing.
It brings the world together.
It does, doesn't it? And then tears us apart one by one.
Father, are you on Facebook?
I am.
You will soon be my friend, I hope.
Well,
I will apply for the job.
Awesome, please. It's all yours.
And we should say, of course, too, Instagram. You guys can check out our Instagram feed right now, LA State of the Arts, and you can find out a lot of good stuff about this show coming up, too. The Pantages Theater does such a good job of getting the word out there, but they did not do a great job of telling me how much fun my daughter was going to have watching you, because this was such a great... A father has a very special place in his heart for anybody who can bring his kids joy, and you did that for a lot. But it was so funny to watch the kids, how they related to Iago, which is difficult because there's no publicity, and there shouldn't be, about what Iago is in the show. We all know from the movie he's a bird, and of course, whenever I leave the theater, everybody's like, well, how did they do Iago? And the answer is, you find the most entertaining, endearing person you can find, and you cast him as Iago and trust that they won't care that he's not a bird. And that's what they did, and it was so fun to watch.
That's too kind.
Was really great to see.
Thank you. Not only
that, but there's a great little pun when you say, will you stop parroting me all the time, which was great too. I think all the parents loved that as well.
You know what, as I sit here looking at Reggie, you know who comes to mind? And he is associated with the Pantages. You could be the brother of Benny Aguayo.
Benny and I are old friends. We've known each other for many, many years because we worked at Disneyland together.
Wow.
I can see that. That's high praise.
He's a good-looking man, no doubt about that. Absolutely.
He is, and he's going to be a papa for his second time.
Yeah.
He's out on paternity leave right now.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We love Benny, and he is so supportive of us and likewise of the Pantages Theater.
Well, no doubt about that. All the great people at the Pantages really strive to give you a great chance and a great opportunity when you go see a show to really have that full theatrical experience. In fact, upstairs on some of the sides, they'll have little displays. One of them they had was the actual lamp. You could go and get your picture taken with the lamp, which was very fun. And the line moves very quickly. Lots of great souvenirs. There's snow globes and all kinds of stuff. But the heart of this is obviously the show and your performances as the evil villains who come into Aladdin's life just to make things difficult when he was about to get the girl. Do you think how short that show would be if you guys weren't involved?
Oh, gosh.
Very short. Like Aladdin dies in the first 2 minutes.
You know? I just think how short it would be if he didn't touch the lamp.
That's right. One missing prop destroys a night of theater.
Yeah, if he didn't teach it, he just brought the lamp to me in Act 1, he'd be done.
How do you approach a role that is so comic, but at the same time is really, I mean, you say blatantly, can't we just murder everyone multiple times? How do you approach it with such humor, but also still keep that villainous heart involved?
You know, Iago was always one of my favorite characters in the animated feature. I love Gilbert Gottfried.
He's so funny.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just remember his performance and how I loved him even though he was evil. And so
right.
it was a very strange thing to negotiate between my heart and my head. But I just try to kind of infuse a little bit of that into the performance.
Very nice.
Yeah,
very
it's
nice.
Just...
He's a hateful person as well. You all should know that. Now, this man to my right is the nicest man, not only in the business, but in the world.
Oh,
so
I say that.
Don't touch me.
I think they brought their characters in with them today, Michael. Could be in for a long show if he starts doing spells.
Really? Reggie, being the young man that you are, when did you know that you wanted to do this? Is this something natural for you, the singing and the acting and everything, the dancing? Was it something you inherited from your folks? Or?
Well, my mom has a lovely singing voice, actually, but neither of my parents were even remotely associated with the business. They're actually in the medical field, like most of my family.
Mm-hmm. I see. So they made money instead of being
exactly.
artists.
Exactly.
They were smart.
They're very wise people. I kind of always heard my mom singing around the house, and my parents love music, so it was always playing, and I found that I really enjoyed singing, and I didn't actually discover musical theater until my early 20s.
Wow.
So the fact that I get to do this as a job now, it's kind of, I mean, it really is a dream come true.
They must have seen you in the show already, right?
Excuse me, he has 35 people at the show. This man has a following.
Fans and they travel.
And I
like it.
Not.
Well, it's just, I'm the only cast member from LA.
Right.
So, you know, and we haven't been home in a year. Everybody's excited to come see the show because everyone wants to see Aladdin. And the fact that I'm there too is just sort of like a, you know, I guess, added bonus. I think they'd all come regardless of whether or not I was in the show.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how you found your way to the stage at that later stage of life?
I was in a performing group when I was younger, and a friend of mine who was in it told me about auditions for The King and I, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is or what that's about, but I'll go. And I went, and I got cast as Prince Chula Longcorn.
Wow.
This was with Inland Valley Repertory Theater. And that was my first show. I got bit by the bug pretty hard, and ever since then, I've just kind of been, you know, looking for stages to perform on. So it's been a fun ride, and the fact that I got to make my Broadway debut in October with Aladdin, it's sort of, you know, everything's just kind of come full circle. Now.
How was that? Do you remember that moment when you stepped on opening night on Broadway for you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, you know, it's funny because Jonathan, of course, has done Broadway before, and he said, it won't hit you until you take your curtain call. And he was right, because it was such a crazed, like, madcap. I had a put-in rehearsal, which was actually just a staging rehearsal with the actors that I was going to be performing with that night, and then I was thrown on.
Wow.
So it was, it was fine, because I'd been with the tour from the beginning, but...
A few differences from show to show.
Yeah, there's definitely, some minor differences, so... I just kind of, it was like being shot out of a cannon, and when I finally took everything in was when I was taking my bow, and I looked up into the audience and I said, oh my gosh, I'm on a Broadway stage and I'm taking my first Broadway bow. This is
and nobody's kicking me off. That's what happened when I went to Broadway.
They haven't brought the hook out yet, so I guess I did okay. So, and then my dear cousin flew out from L.A. to be there, so it was really because I you know, being from L.A., I don't have a lot of connections in New
York. That's got to be a little bit of thrown into the fire there,
totally.
No doubt. Yeah.
So the fact that I had family in the audience was really special.
Did you do it on Broadway for how long?
It was a very short stint. It was 3 weeks.
Leave them wanting more, no doubt about it. It's a good thing.
But, you know, it was enough to be able to say, wow, this is a dream come true.
You got the credit.
Yeah.
You got the credit. That's
so
the thing, yeah.
It's pretty great.
Absolutely.
The voice you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen, is Reggie DeLeon from the amazing cast of Disney's Aladdin at the Pantages Theater here until March 31st. Reggie, when you think back on kind of this strange road that brought you here, did you ever see shows at the Pantages when you were young? Is that now something? It's got to be so surreal to now step back up on that stage.
Yeah. I saw my very first show at the Pantages.
It
was Phantom of the Opera, and I think it was like 19... Oh, gosh, I don't remember what year it was.
Oh, that must have been Davis Gaines, though, probably, yeah? Didn't Davis play? Yeah, sure.
Or it was actually... I think it was Robert Guillaume.
Oh, interesting.
When I saw it...
Robert Guillaume, he did the production at the Amundsen Theater.
That's right. No, then I did see Davis Gaines.
Davis is a good friend of the show. We love him very much as well.
So. Yeah, he was, of course, amazing, and I was just blown away by... everything, the whole experience. It was my first time being in a theater and seeing a musical. So to now get to play the theater where I was introduced to musical theater is, honestly, it's kind of a bigger deal to me than Broadway was.
Yeah.
Because I'm in my hometown. I've got, like Jonathan said, many people coming to see the show every night. So to be able to share this experience in the show with my family and friends is such a special experience.
That's great.
It's wonderful.
Well, as an endorsement from me personally, this show I thought was actually a flawless show. I went to go see it, and I thought it was one of the best productions of a musical that I've seen in a long time, and certainly one of the best productions of this sort of musical. It has something for everyone, and as a father, there's that extra thing where you want to take your kids to see entertainment that's unusual, but also something that has mass appeal, where they can see a lot of people seeing live theater and having a good time. And we support so many shows here that have a niche audience, but this one, there's something for everybody seeing this show. I know my daughter and I had a great time, but I know that everybody there at the end, nobody left intermission. Everybody stayed at the end and they jumped up so quick.
I concur, and I think that one of the special things that this show has is that on a moment-by-moment basis, every moment is bigger than the previous moment, and it just accelerates and reaches that incredible, ending.
Fever crescendo, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The crescendo of the show is like huge. I hope the experience of people who sit up in the balcony is the same as people who sit in the orchestra.
Yeah.
It must be. But
I think it carries.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to. It has to. It's just so full of life.
Yeah.
And it goes so quickly for the 2.5 hours that it's on stage.
Yeah. And I think that this show is particularly fun, too, because it is such a cohesive cast. Of course, Courtney Reed is Jasmine, who did a great, great job. And the entire ensemble, I remember two or three of the dancers. My daughter just stopped and watched them, and there was main action going on, but she was just intrigued by how everything was so precise. And I think that's something we expect at the Pantages, but to see it in this kind of beautiful setting with such a massive, massive production, I mean, the set and the costume and, of course, the illusion of the flying carpet, which was absolutely stunning. So great effects, great acting, great music, and of course a great time at the Pantages Theater.
Who gets the most requests for signing autographs after the show outside by the fans? Because they have to wait outside those gates, don't they?
There's a sort of a stanchion area. Yeah. I'm going to go with
Aladdin.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes out and there's, people.
Big eruption of applause.
Oftentimes I have to be like, who's your favorite? They don't recognize me.
You want to walk out before that. You don't want to walk out after that.
You definitely don't want to bring up the rear end of Aladdin, who's, it's lackey. No, Jasmine gets a big.
I would assume that the genie does as well, of course. Yeah.
It's always a little odd that it doesn't happen at all theaters, obviously, when you're working regionally or whatever, that you get people who want autographs. But it does mean a lot that people take the time. I mean, how many accountants get people wanting their autographs after they get off work? So it's
mine wants it every year on my tax return.
Exactly.
I'm always hesitant to sign.
But they've been very supportive.
It's a great thing.
Well,
it's a
moment, when something touches you, and that's the beauty of the live arts anyway, isn't it? That's what
the connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't get in a film or TV.
Exactly. And it will never see the same performance twice.
That's right.
Indeed.
I believe that there's the performances, of course, run through March 31st, and they did a lottery. Is that correct?
A digital lottery.
A digital lottery for tickets as low as $25, which I believe is held daily. Is that still correct, Michael?
I believe so, yeah.
So, it's a lot of good things going on there. And if that promotion is still available, obviously jump on that. But if not, check out these regular price tickets, $39, as low as $39 at the Pantages.
Well, that's a regular price. These are $25,
that's
but
right.
There's a limited number of them.
Yes.
And they
do it
every day,
daily, but it's a limited number.
Yeah.
And then obviously you can just visit the Pantages website or call Ticketmaster for tickets. This is a really great show to get a chance to go see. They have shows almost every night of the week. They're only dark once or twice during the week and, of course, running all the way through March 31st. So no excuse not to go see this. Again, the online tickets are available at HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com. And the phone number is 800-982-2787.
It's that time,
oh,
I think.
Oh, my goodness. Are they scared?
And now, embarrassing moments.
This is where Michael and I look at you with pity.
Oh.
Yes. All right, Jonathan, you're on.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not this show, but I was doing a production of Bye Bye Birdie years ago at a theater outside Chicago. Merritt Lincolnshire Theater. It's in the round. It's about 900 seats. Aisles up each corner. End of Act One, Harry McAfee, who I was playing, gets enamored with the TV on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I'm mounting the camera, and the cameraman's spinning, and it's a blackout. Well, as I was... Blackout happened. He spun it after I spotted the aisle, and I ran full tilt in a blackout into the audience.
Oh. You staged over.
Now, the stage was only like 4 feet, 3 feet down, right?
Wow.
But I was sprawled over three rows in a blackout, and all I could hear was, whoa.
No.
I was fine. I ran up in the blackout before anybody could see who I was. But apparently I sent a woman to the emergency room on a gurney.
Oh,
in intermission.
Nice.
Go yeah, away. Apparently it looked like I'd beaten her with a baseball bat. I mean, she was 78 and thin-skinned, apparently.
She can't take it to her. Oh,
that old excuse.
Exactly. Oh, fine. But apparently, but then I became a permanent part of the safety speech after that theater. And
they say we want
to hire me. And I continued to work. Go figure. Yeah, that was, so it was a bit of an embarrassing moment on stage and off stage.
That's hilarious.
Did you ever make contact or she?
No, afterwards? I thought when I went backstage.
Only for the lawsuit. That was it.
No, thankfully she did. She was very sweet. She didn't, all she wanted was her medical expenses covered and her ticket reimbursed.
Oh.
But the best part is she thought it was another actor that had done it. In her testimonial. But the funniest thing was I got backstage, I was in a white jacket, and there was like the shroud of this woman's face on my jacket.
Oh, my God. Oh,
like a drive-by, so they called it the Shroud of Mary Peterson. Yep. Dignity.
Wow, that is a good one, Jonathan. My goodness, thank goodness everybody turned out to be
everyone's
okay.
Well.
That's
okay.
Reggie.
What you got, Reggie?
Well, actually, it was with this show, so... there's
recently.
Yes, it was actually just like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
I wear a disguise in one of the scenes in the show, and I'm supposed to just rip it off very quickly. And, you know, it's 300 times it's worked perfectly. But this one night, I pulled it off my head and also pulled off my wig and my hat. I snatched myself bald.
It should be noted that the microphone is under all that now.
Of course.
It's dangling down his back.
Oh,
right.
No.
So I have a series of lines after this, and I'm just like shouting them to Jonathan. And
you were projecting. Projecting.
Stage voice. But I was like, okay, I mean, I can't stand here. This was going into our song, Diamond
in the
Rough.
Diamond in the Rough.
And I was like, okay, I have to get off stage and fix this. So I tried to find a moment where it felt organic, but
there really was no.
Well, I just literally ran off the stage.
He ran off stage, and Adam Jacobs and I looked at each other and went, we just turned it into a solo.
That's right. Well, we got rid of him. Now let's see who's next. The good thing about that, though, is Iago is just spastic enough to get away with that.
Totally.
You'd probably jump into the audience and be fine.
It's a little bit like the Daytona 500. You hit the pit stop, it got fixed up, and came back.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
Only we were wearing a Richard Petty jacket, so the whole thing was done. That's a pretty cool thing to see because, I mean, this is obviously a production that you do over and over and over again, and to know that you still have to stay that much on your toes because anything can happen, it goes to show that live performance really is the best best thing to be a part of.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Well, we've had our moments, too, and I share one from
Did
Bye
Bye
Birdie.
Did you run into an audience, too?
No, not the same.
But it was Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was Bye Bye Birdie.
What was yours?
And it was in the round in a 3,000-seat theater. And I was doing this show with Jerry Van Dyke.
Oh, wow.
And Dick Van Dyke came in and did the role after Jerry. And I was a teenager, and the opening, scene, when it's the
telephone.
Transition from, New York to Sweet Apple. Mm-hmm. And so you underdress for Sweet Apple, and you've got the New York clothes on, and the train leaves, and that this was all happening now in a I can't remember the light that flickers.
Mm-hmm. Strobe light.
A strobe light, yes. And so I had the New York suit on, and the runners are coming up the aisles, the costume people, to take your clothes off and help you get them off. And then, we have the underdress. And then when that underdress is complete, the lights come up, and you're in Sweet Apple, Ohio. And as they were coming up, it was in a red sweater and a white shirt and the collar showing and waving an American flag. And I thought, good Lord, it's cold. I didn't say good Lord, but I said, it's cold in here. And I looked down and I had forgotten to put my pants on. And I was standing there in my dance belt.
Yes, you weren't you?
And that side of the audience got their money's worth, I think. Because it wasn't bad back in those days.
There were no requests for refunds. That's good. That's a testimonial to you.
I thought I heard somebody in the audience saying more and more. not sure about that, but... And you've had one, sir.
Oh, I've had a few in my career. There's no doubt about it. My favorite one happened this year when I was playing Bob Cratchit, and Tiny Tim and I became affixed together when I had him on my back and the scarf wrapped around my neck, but then got wrapped around the button of his coat, and I could feel the veil start to close as it tightened around my throat as I tried to let Tiny Tim down. So in full winter gear in this hot, hot theater under the lights up here at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, I had to carry this boy who used to be a 5-year-old and was now a 9-year-old, be much larger than he used to be, carry him around with me for the entire scene until I could finally rip the scarf off and get him down. My favorite part of that story, though, is we sat down to do the prayer, and this young actor, who's a great, great little actor, but he sat down, and we all bowed our heads, and his thought was, well, everybody in the audience is bowing their heads to pray, so I'll just fiddle with my scarf then. And my daddy instinct kicked in, and I kind of smacked his hand, like, don't move during the prayer, and he responded. He immediately folded his hands and put it, and I told my little boy, I said, I learned that from you, which I thought was funny, but that was one of, I could literally feel that scarf getting tighter and tighter as this 9-year-old drifted down my back, and I thought, this is it. This is how it goes. Died on stage.
Not with a bang, but a whimper.
Well, right now I'm doing the fight choreography for Princess Ida, which is a Gilbert and Sullivan piece. And the other day we were watching as some of the swordmen were working back and forth, and one time the sword, he was doing a move with the sword, and it just kind of caught on his thumb, and the sword sprung out of his hand and went flying straight, doing one of these helicopter moves. And I remember thinking, I've seen that on stage so many times, but it never feels like an embarrassing moment. I had one break when I was touring with King Lear, a sword that broke and flew out. But you're always so prepared for that you just immediately know how to shield the audience from those sort of things and get keep yourself safe and all that sort of thing. So none of my embarrassing moments are fight moments, which I thought was so strange, although there's been plenty of those, too, in my life, I guess. So. Well, we highly recommend Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin at the Pantages
Theater.
And we want to say a big thank you to both of
guys,
you for joining us
you.
Today. Man, it was so good to talk to you guys. Just honestly.
Yeah.
We love having you here to talk a little bit of evil. Lots of fun. Will you guys come back and see us when you come through on tour again?
Absolutely.
Love to have you back here again.
Always welcome.
And Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.